your Bibles, go to the book of Acts. Remain standing with me, the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 5. We'll read responsively verses 17 through verse 28. I'll end up reading verse 41 and you'll read verse 42 with me after that. Acts chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 17 through verse 28. I'll begin in verse number 17. The Bible says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which in the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord stood by night, opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to them to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. I'll read verse 41. You'll read verse 42 with me, the end of the same chapter. Verse number 41, And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach, to preach Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, there's so many different needs in this room today. Lord, there's so many people from so many different walks of life, or many burdens, Lord, heartaches that many don't know about, but Lord, you know the need. Lord, we're gathered this morning, Lord, to hear your word taught. Lord, do something special this morning, please. I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd encourage us. Lord, we need something from you in the world that we live in. There's so much negativity going on around us, Lord, and Lord, it is here that we find the strength that we need to be the right kind of testimony that you have asked us to be. Be with our preacher. Fill him, please, with your Holy Spirit's powers. He preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. Speak to our hearts. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to listen to me carefully today. I think I know our church. I think I know our people and some of the things that you go through. And I really believe that I can help you today. Young people, listen to me. You teenagers and young adults, you listen to me. Some of you, this is preventive maintenance. It may not make as much sense today, but it will in days to come. But it will help you. I want you to sit there. I want you to listen. I don't want you to talk. Fellas, look at me. I know you're listening when you're looking and your lips aren't moving. If you'll listen to me, this could help you. The disciples have been busy serving the Lord. And the church has been growing. Jesus has been in heaven for some time. I can't tell you exactly how long. But they're now into what we would call a new normal. If their life is anything like our lives, normal changes about every 3 hours. There's just no such thing as normal. The temple crowd, the religious people, have started dwindling a little bit. I find it interesting. Everybody look at me for a second. Did you ever notice the disciples went to the temple and preached to get converts to take them to the church? You think I'm rough. least I'm not going down to the Catholic Church on Saturday night mass preaching and getting converts come to church on Sunday. Now, I've done that a little bit. We were having a big day at First Baptist when I was in college. Brother Hiles, we were having afternoon outdoor meetings. Miss Kim, I was in Harvey, Illinois. The only white people there were us workers, let me tell you. We were the thin cream in the Oreo of the day, let me tell you. We had spent 2 or 3 days passing out flyers saying at such and such time we were going to have an open air meeting. And there was a church literally 2 blocks away from this open air field where we were going to have a meeting. We had a big old moving truck with prizes in the back. I mean, we had furniture and TVs and all kinds of stuff we were going to give away. I got donated. We were drawing a crowd. And man, we were getting ready. Well, this, and it's not a racial thing, but this black church was having church going on. And I had happened to pass somebody that went into that church, didn't know it. And as I was passing out flyers and getting people to go, somebody came out of that church as I was about from here to the back of the auditorium away from the building. And they said, our pastor wants to talk to you. I said, say what? They said, our pastor wants to talk to you. Come on in here. And I just looked, and he said, don't worry, it's not bad. So I walked in the door. They're still having church. I mean, they're still having church. And the guy stops. He said, are you all the ones with the meeting down there? I said, yes, sir, we are. He said, hang on. In Jesus' name, amen. He said, folks, y'all follow that white man all the way down there. We're going to their church service. I'm not kidding. We cleared out the church house.
Amen.
I mean, here they come down the sidewalks in their beautiful church dresses, marching with their Bibles down that sidewalk. I mean, it was like, you just can't imagine. The preacher came, his wife came. I mean, there must have been 7,500 folk that came down that sidewalk. A man got up and he preached. The pastor's wife raised her hand and got saved that day. I mean, there was all kinds of church folks getting saved. What we didn't know was this. We didn't ask for a permit. We just had about 300 folks, 350, 400 people in this empty lot. And the police pulled up. The guy was up there preaching. He said, take care of things. Yeah, right. So I go talk to this police officer. He said, you got to shut this thing down. I said, well, I said, he's up there preaching. I ain't going to tell him to shut up. I said, you're sure not going to go up there. You can't stop him from preaching. He said, I can stop him from having this meeting without a permit. I said, good luck, dude. I said, tell you what, we'll have the invitation. I said, we've promised to give certain things away. He said, you're not going to do it. As soon as he's done, you're going to leave. I said, all right. So he was parked on the backside of the lot. We were up here on an alley, right in the back of a pickup truck, and we had the moving truck with all the goods in it. He got done giving the invitation. I whispered in his ear, told him, we can't do this. He said, got an idea. We had an escape plan if we ever had a problem with the crowd. We had a clown with us, and he had a pillowcase with him that had about 200 gifts in it. And if you ever needed, you could say, there's the clown, he's got gifts, and he would just throw that bag up and all the gifts would like this. And of course, you can get the crowd's attention going that direction. He said, get the clown over there on the other side. I said, no problem. He gets up and says, now folks, the police have come. I guess we didn't know we needed a permit, and they're not going to let us distribute all the goodies that we had for you. But we do have a clown right over there. Our clown was standing at the front bumper of that police cruiser. He said, our clown's going to take, he's got several things. He's got money and different things in it. Well, we had quarters and dimes in there wrapped up and you name. And that clown, he goes, like this. There was 300 people climbing on a police cruiser. I am not kidding. It gave us enough time to jump in our cars and go down the alley. And we got out of Dodge. I don't know to this day what that cruiser looked like afterwards. But I've seen God do things like that. Here's the disciples. They're in the temple preaching. They're taking converts from the temple, moving them to the church, and the church is growing mega fast. Now, if you remember, it's the temple that crucified Jesus. They got the government involved. Now, by the way, the government, once they get power, they don't want to relinquish power. Did you ever notice that? Hadn't changed in 2,000 years. The church in Jerusalem is growing unbelievably. It's growing by thousands. We know at Pentecost they had 3,000 saved and baptized in one day. That's a lot. Then the Bible says they were adding daily to the church such as should be saved. It was growing like crazy. Then people from there were leaving, and there's churches being started all over the area that were growing just as rapidly. And the temple crowd, the religious people said, look, we got to stop these people. Can I tell you something? The old devil gets upset when God's work starts prospering. Mrs. Lopez had a big day planned for the bus route today. Does it surprise me that we had bus troubles today? Nope, not at all. Say why? Because the devil's not real happy. You know the song, the devil's mad and I am glad he lost the soul he thought he had. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, let me say this. Satan hates a church that does what God says that they should do. He will use turmoil from outside the church. He'll use turmoil from within the church to stop the work of God. He'll use turmoil in any way he can. He'll cause problems any way he can to try to stop the work of God. That's where you get these people that say, well, if you're having a problem, God must not be in it. No, that's some lazy Christian that isn't doing anything. I found out this. If you're going to do the will of God, you're going to face everything. It's not going to be an easy road. These people that get up and say, well, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. That's the devil's crowd, not God's crowd. Some rascal gets up and says that, he's a filthy liar. God continues to use, though, the apostles in a great way. The Bible says that they were there, they were preaching, and they beat them and put them in prison. Now, we're not just talking about a little slap here or there. The Bible says they were beaten. You've seen some of the things that take place in the Middle East where they will cane somebody or take bamboo rods and beat people over the back. That's the type of thing that they were doing to the apostles here. And they threw them in the what they call the common prisons and said, look, you're to never preach again. Good luck. In the middle of the night, God sends an angel and says, y'all come with me, you're getting out of jail. God does not disclose how it took place, but the prison was locked, the keepers were there. I don't know if he put them into a deep sleep or what, but God opened every door, locked it behind them, and they walked out, went down to the temple and started preaching in the morning. Now, realize they had been just beaten and thrown in jail. And we read in Acts chapter 5, verse number 20, go stand and speak in the temple and tell the people all the words of this life. He said, go preach again. I don't know about you, but if I just got beaten and thrown in jail, I don't know that I want to go back to the place where they took me from to beat me and throw me in jail again. But if God got me out of jail in the middle of the night, amen. If God got me out of the jail in the middle of the night, I think I'd go do it. So the priests go to the prison the next morning and they said, you're not going to be happy. They said, why? They said, we don't understand it, but everybody was on guard last night. Everything was locked down, but when we looked in this morning, they're not there. Then word comes that they're in the temple where the priest should have been preaching. Now the sermon. This is what I want you to get. The disciples didn't whine and complain about what happened. I want you to notice something in verse number 41. And they departed from the council. That's the Jefferson County Council. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Notice the Bible says that they counted it, they went rejoicing. And counted it basically an honor to suffer for Jesus' name. They weren't whining and complaining that they got beat. They weren't crying in their juice about the fact that they got thrown in jail. No. It says that they went rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for him. Let me ask you a question. Just because you go to church and endure a 45, 50-minute sermon doesn't mean you're a martyr for Jesus. You know, if someone laughs at you at work because they find out you're a Christian, that's not a lot of suffering. Compare it to getting beaten and thrown in jail. God help us with this soft, easily offended, sissified generation of today. And I'm talking about Christians. We have Christians that are so soft-skinned that it's a wonder that anybody even knows that you are. Let me ask you a question. Do they know you are? Amen. Listen to me. Young people, listen to me. Everybody will suffer in life. You will not get through life without suffering. God and godly and ungodly people suffer. Did you know that saved people suffer? And lost people suffer? Did you know that God says it rains on the just and the unjust? Here's the question. Are you going to suffer and make something worthwhile out of it? Or are you just going to waste the suffering that you have? Are you going to sit there and whine and complain and be a baby about your suffering? Or are you going to use it and do something great for God with it? I don't know about you, but if I must suffer, I've decided I'm going to make the most of what I've got. Don't fall into the devil's trap of letting suffering discourage you. We have way too many Christians who've listened to the devil. Well, I just don't know that I can do it. Oh, this hurts and that hurts. I better stay home. Bless God, if I stayed home every time something hurt, I'd never get out of bed. Sometimes I get up in the morning, I feel like the Tin Man on Wizard of Oz that doesn't have any oil. Grimmer world. And every time you move it, it's like... Now, wait a minute. Nobody is going to get through life without suffering. If you're going to hurt, you're going to hurt at home or you're going to hurt at church, might as well do what you're supposed to do, make it church. If you're barfing or you really got sick, do me a favor, don't come and give it to everybody. All right? I don't want to clean up your barf. All right? I've been barfed on so many times in this life, I don't care if I ever see it again. I've been thrown up on. Unbelievably, I'm getting ready for school plays and stuff. Some kid walked up, Brother Bush, I don't feel good. I mean, all over my shirt, my pants, and I got to be on the platform in 20 minutes. My house is 15 minutes away. Say, what'd you do? I broke land speed records. I made it back in time. I had to open the windows in the vehicle after I hosed myself. I mean, yeah, it was not a pretty thing, let me tell you. First day of school, I picked up a little kid. He was crying, going to kindergarten his first day. He was crying, I miss my mama. And I picked him up, looked at him, and I said, buddy, it's going to be okay. And barfed all the way down my arm, in my ear. I was pulling his breakfast out of my ear, you know. Yeah. If you're really sick, do me a favor, stay home. All right? But past that, I think we just, we whine and we complain so much. And I realize some of you older folks, you have things that are legit, and it, I get it, all right? Yes, Miss Mung, you old people. But we live in such a soft society that we listen to the devil so much. I want to help you today. Number one, the disciples didn't complain about suffering. Notice in this story, the Bible says in verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They weren't saying, well, God's not fair. How come I got to go through this? Uh-oh. Getting a little close to home, aren't we? They weren't calling all their friends and putting it on social media about, well, I just don't understand why God's doing this to me. Not fair. You're seeking everybody else's pity about your suffering. Folks, I understand we're going to suffer. But did you know everybody you just complained to suffering too? In today's world, if someone laughs at us, we think we're the next martyr for Jesus. Well, I was at work and somebody laughed at me because of the way I dress, so I'm not going to dress like a Christian anymore. Oh, God bless you. Come here, let me burp you too. The disciples used their suffering. They used the attack as a way to get the gospel out and reach more people. Can you imagine what it was like standing in the temple the day after they got beaten and thrown in jail? And everybody in the temple knew they had been beaten and thrown in jail. And there they are the next morning, standing there preaching, saying, God got us out. We're here preaching the truth to you, and you better get saved. God got us out so that you could hear the message, so that you could get saved and get out of this mess. I'll be honest with you. I hope that I'd be one of those apostles standing there preaching the next day. We think about our own problems and our own pain and our own suffering way too much. Everybody listen to me very quickly here. We need to quit sulking and self-pity. Did you know that the hospitals in this area are full of people that are hurting right now, saved and lost? It's not just the Christians that are suffering. Do you know that the funeral homes are full of people, saved and lost, with family members that are hurting right now? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God says, why don't you use the experience that you have to go out and help somebody rather than sitting there sulking in self-pity, crying the blues and helping nobody and being depressed about it? 95% of depression in America comes because all we do is sit there and relive the negative. Turn the stupid news off. Quit thinking about your problem. Well, it's not that easy, preacher. Can I tell you why? Because you're not busy doing something for somebody else. You are so wrapped up in your own stinking life that it smells like garbage. And you get tired of the smell. Then you look at it and get depressed. How about you get off your blessed assurance and get to church every service? I'll cure your depression. Go out soul winning. You go knock on somebody's door. tell them the gospel and show them how that they don't have to die and go to hell someday, I'll promise you, you'll get out of your depression. You see somebody bow their head and get saved, if you can be depressed after that, something's wrong with you. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I'm on an island all by myself. They didn't complain about how unfair God was to them. They were doing right. They were serving God. They didn't say, this isn't fair, God. I'm serving you. Everybody doing all right? Come on now. Friday morning, my phone rang twice. It rang more than that, but two times almost back to back. Before 8 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call. A dear friend of mine that I graduated from high school with, her sister, about 10, 12 years older than she, lady in her early 60s, she said, Craig, would you pray? She said, my sister's gotten some tests and we're going to get the results today. I found out on Friday she has pancreatic and liver cancers and they've given her 3 to 5 months to live. I know her, know the family well. My heart broke for him. Within literally an hour, my phone rang. My daughter called. She said, you hear about Brother Davis? I said, well, what about Brother Davis? She said, Daddy, Brother Bill Davis is the youth director at Clay's Mill for Brother Fugit. He was here and preached with the men's tour group a couple years ago in our church. Thursday night through the night, Brother Bill Davis's daddy just passed away unexpectedly. He woke up Friday morning to find out that his daddy was dead. Oh, my heart broke for him. I shot him a text. I tried to encourage him. You know, neither one of these families is complaining about why God's doing this. Say why? It rains on the just and the unjust. I wonder how many lost people found out they have cancer this week. I wonder how many lost people had somebody that they know die this week. You see, too many times we think that just because we're saved, that's the attack. If you got a flat tire this week, I doubt the devil put a hole in your tire. I don't think you're that good a Christian that the devil thinks that he can get you by putting a hole in your tire. Y'all doing okay? How much have you really done for God to where the actual devil himself needs to fight you? So first of all, the disciples did not complain about suffering. Can I tell you something? We all suffer. You all know what I'm talking about. Did you ever talk to that person that you don't ask them how they're doing because you're going to get the list of what's wrong? Y'all know who I'm talking. You got one like that in your life? There are some people I don't say, how you doing today? Because by the time they're done with their list, I'm depressed. That doesn't mean if something's wrong that you don't ask somebody to pray for you. Okay, there is a difference here. But when you've called 40 churches in America and everybody knows your problem, just because you're seeking pity, there's a little difference here. Number two, I must hurry. Realize that any suffering here on earth is an honor if you're saved. Everybody look at me for a second. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, correct? Say, preacher, what did you say to your friend whose sister found out she's got 3 to 5 months to live? I could show you the text I gave her. My son was sitting beside me in the truck when I said it to her. I said, thank God for a real place called heaven. It may seem too soon
for us. But thank God for a real place called heaven. But listen to me. Did you realize that whatever suffering we do here sure is a whole lot less than the suffering in hell?
That's right.
Oh, things are tight financially. I'm suffering for Jesus. Well, bless God, at least you're not frying in hell. Well, I got this pain and I got that pain and I got this wrong and I got that wrong, but you're not burning in hell right now. We've got a lot to rejoice about.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got the shingles and a kidney stone. You're not in hell. Who cares? I don't have either right now. Praise the Lord. Listen to this statement. Our worst day here is better than the best day in hell. I don't care how bad you have it. Your worst day here is still better than the best day in hell. I would rather suffer for a holy God than to suffer like a tree-hugging, save the whale, hurt an animal, go to jail, climate change person in hell. I do pretty good on that one, Brother Larry. I worked hard on that statement. I wanted to read it, amen. Bless God, we'll save the puppy dogs and murder the babies. What sense is that? By the way, it's the same crowd. Let's save the trees so Spotty the owl don't die, but let's protest that a woman can murder their baby anytime they want. I'd rather suffer for Jesus than protest against abortion or for abortion. Can I tell you something? Going to church is not suffering. Waking up with a hangover in your own vomit is suffering. Young people, listen to me. Going to church is not suffering. You're not suffering for Jesus because you go to church. Did you know that going soul winning is not suffering? Man, I have a blast every time I go out soul winning. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, you don't need television. Just go soul winning because you'll see more things happen than you ever thought possible. I've had so many experiences, it's not even funny. Matter of fact, last time Dr. Anderson was here, he said, you need to put a book together. Just soul winning experiences, Brother Bush. I said, Doc, people don't read anymore. You'd have to put it online, and I don't even have a computer. Did you know that going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday school is not suffering? You know, I feel sorry for people that don't go to church. The guy out mowing his grass right now and not in church, he's suffering. I'm not. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that prayer is not suffering? You get a chance to talk to the God that created everything, and you want to complain about praying? Well, I got to pray. You're probably the same one that says, well, I got to go talk to my wife. Depends on what you did, whether you have that attitude, I guess. I'm not going there. You know, why is it that we complain about praying? Why do we complain about reading our Bible where we get to hear God speak to us in his words? Well, I got to read my Bible. Well, bless God, I get to read my Bible. I get to pray. I get to go to church. Hey, working in Sunday school or working in the nursery or working in junior church isn't suffering. It may seem like hell for a while, but it's not suffering. Folks, we ought to thank God that the worst day here is still better than anything anybody in hell has. I don't care how bad the news. We are the sinners who disobeyed God. We're the ones that deserve hell. Any good we get is far better than any lost person in hell right now. Well, you don't understand my problem, Brother Bush. It's still better than dying and going to hell.
Yes, sir.
Well, you don't know what this situation's like. How hard and how stressful it is. It's a whole lot less stressful than not being able to get out of hell. Our sin brings our suffering. God does not bring suffering. Quit blaming God for your suffering. I am so tired of people blaming God because they suffer. Caught that, didn't I, Brother Barnes? That's pretty good. I am so tired for, why did God take this person? God didn't, your sin did. I hate to disappoint you. God doesn't pre-program the world to happen and it works out just the way he programmed it. Matter of fact, man messed that up when he sinned. God did not program man to sin. Man listened to the devil and sinned. Did you know that lost people and ungodly people suffer too? Did you know that lost people and ungodly people have sick children too? Did you know that lost people have cancer? Do you know that ungodly people have deaths in their families? Did you know that drunkards and others that hate God have car problems too? Did you know that lost people have financial difficulties like you do too? Do you realize that lost people and ungodly people have problems with their children and in love relationships as well? Did you know that ungodly people hurt as they get older too? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean your aches and pains are from God. They're from your sin. It's about time we quit blaming God for the things that we suffer for. I don't understand why God did this to me. God didn't look down and say, Joe Heaney is going to be so ugly that he hurts everybody. Sorry, he's like a booger. You just got to pick it. All right? Now, wait a minute. I understand suffering. I understand we have problems. But Brother Randy, I don't think God looked down and said, I hate Randy so bad that I'm going to make him have the problem that he has today. I don't even know what it is, and it's not Leanne, all right? So, did I get out of that one okay? I don't think God looked down at Randy and said, I'm going to make his life miserable. Who wants to do that? What kind of God would he be? Now, wait a minute. Everybody knows Randy's a sinner. Just look at that face. Say, why? Because we're all sinners. And we're going to reap our sin. If you've got kids, you're going to reap for your kids' sin too, probably. Listen to that, all right? Now, wait a minute. We're all going to have problems. Why is it that we want to blame God for the problem? Well, if he really loved me, he'd stop it. Oh, hang on. He can keep you from facing the eternality judgment of your sin. But he can't take away the law of sowing and reaping away. You're going to face the effect of your sin, just not the judgment for your sin. Just because you're saved doesn't mean all your problems are over. But because you're saved, you have a holy God that created the universe and said, I'll help you through your problem. You go through that book, you name the person, they suffered. You give me the greatest Christians in that book and I'll show you people that suffered. Adam. Can you imagine knowing, by the way, Adam was the second longest living person in the world. Lived 950 years. Can you imagine having lived in the Garden of Eden with perfection and no sin, going within two generations of seeing the flood? Do you know that Noah's grandfather knew who Adam was and met him? And God said the world got so bad that he would destroy it with just about within Adam's lifespan. He went from the Garden of Eden to where God was going to destroy the world. And it's not as bad in our world now as it was in the days of Noah, because God said he wouldn't come back till it was as in the days of Noah. Imagine going from the Garden of Eden to what we got today. I imagine Adam suffered. He had a son that killed his other son. Moses, Abraham, David, you name the person. They all suffered. Daniel, I don't care who you give me in the Bible, they suffered. Everybody will suffer. But you decide whether you're going to suffer and sit there and sulk about it and do nothing with it, or you'll let God take it and use something. I want to give you the last point. We're going to hurry. Get your fingers licked up. We're going to look at several verses here. Number three, it's always an honor to represent God, even in suffering. Did you know it's an honor to represent God in your suffering? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verse number 12. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Uh-oh. Everybody look at that verse. If you're not suffering some persecution for Jesus, you must not be living godly. Isn't that what it says? It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Guess what? If you're living right, you're going to face some persecution. Young people, they ought to make fun at you for being a Christian. And you ought to pick your chin up and say, "Thank God I'm acting like a Christian enough to where somebody noticed." I love it when somebody will say, "Well, you Christians, shouldn't you act this way?" I always look at them and say, "Oh, you know a lot about it. How come you're not acting that way then? Before you judge me, are you saved?" Boy, that shuts them up in a big hurry. See, God tells us if we live right, if we live godly, we're going to suffer. You're not a martyr for Jesus because somebody is causing you to suffer as a Christian. You're not a martyr for Jesus because at work your boss doesn't promote you just because you think you're a Christian. Say why? Because God said that's going to happen. Suck it up, buttercup. Let's do it. A Christian who never suffers must not be living godly. Because God said, "Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution." Everybody doing okay? Hang on. Turn to the book of Hebrews. A couple more pages over. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 25. This is in reference to Moses. "Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season." Everybody look at me for a second. I'm going to say this as nice as I know how. Sin has pleasure, but it ends in destruction. Now, I've not tasted liquor. I've smelled it. That's bad enough. The pleasure of getting drunk ends with a lot of problems, just so you know. Some of you have watched your mama get beat up because somebody was drunk. Somebody's in here spent time in jail for driving drunk. Look at the strain and the stress it puts on a family. The financial pressure it puts on people. Man, that stuff's expensive. You know, for a bunch of rotten juice, sure is expensive. Why don't you go buy the cheap stuff that's good? It's called grape juice, amen? See, sin's pleasure ends in a hangover, in addictions, in sexual diseases, in broken marriages, and in fighting and arguing. What sense does it make? The pleasure that it brought, is it worth the pain at the other end? Can I tell you something? Any suffering I do for God's a whole lot better than that. Somebody making fun of me for going soul winning, at least I don't have AIDS. Well, you must be a Christian. Glad you noticed. That's a whole lot better than waking up in a puddle of vomit on my bed because I got drunk last night, not remembering what I did. You see, rather to enjoy the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. By the way, sin's pleasure doesn't last long. Notice how many times you've gone into sin, how much turmoil it caused. Boy, that's good. 1 Peter chapter 2, I must hurry. A few pages over. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "For what glory is it if when you be buffeted," not buffeted, "for your faults, you shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." God says, for what glory is it if when you've done something wrong that you take it patiently? But when you suffer and you didn't do something wrong, why can't you take it patiently? If you know you did get wrong and you get caught, guess what? You expect to get a little bit of suffering. It's when you didn't do something wrong and you suffer, we want to complain about it. Guess what? Be as patient when you didn't deserve it as you did when you did deserve it. God said you're going to suffer. Well, I don't think it's right for us to suffer because we're living right. You might not think it's right, but the lost world thinks it's right. God didn't teach him that. That's the devil. Boy, I got to hurry here. Can I tell you something? Many Christians should suffer more because the lost need a chance to get saved. Before you say, well, why is it that Brother Davis, who's a preacher, why is it that it was his daddy that died and not some lost person, some drunk? Because maybe that drunk's daddy needs to get saved. Thank God Brother Davis's daddy's saved. Do you ever think maybe you should suffer so somebody could get saved? I believe the disciples suffered in jail and were beaten so they could go tell people, hey, it's okay. Just trust Christ and get saved so you don't have to die and go to hell. And they said, if somebody can go through that, and they're God strong enough to bring them out of that, I'd like to have something like that. Next. By the way, you should take suffering because you deserve it, whether you did something wrong then or not. You all know the statement. You say, well, I didn't really do it, Dad. No, but how about all the times you didn't get caught? 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 14. Just a page over. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. Look down to verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Can I tell you something? We should not be afraid to suffer. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to die of cancer. I've seen too many people die of cancer. But guess what? If I get it, I'm not going to be afraid. I want to be like Russell Anderson, facing heart surgery at 88 years old. Brother Bush, don't worry about it. God and I made a contract. He's going to be good on his part. I'm going to be good on mine. I'm not worried about it. Worst thing that happened is I wake up here. If not, I wake up in heaven. But I already made a deal with God. I got money to give away, and he needs it, so he's going to keep me alive. Now, I'm not as bold as Russell Anderson. I can't tell God that. He can. I can't. I haven't given that much money away yet. You see, why are we afraid to suffer? I would rather do the will of God and suffer for the will of God than to suffer for evil. Did you know some people don't like me? I know that's hard to believe. To know me is to love me. I've had people write nasty words all over my vehicle. I've had people try to set my house on fire before I move, and I move so they don't know what my address is. You name it. I've had people send letters to me that I've had to turn in to the FBI and Homeland Security because they were so rough. I'm not kidding. Say, why? Because I preach what's right. Say, does it bother you? Nope. Bring it on. I know the day's coming. There's going to be more. Bring it on. It's all right. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 16. The Bible says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Why is it that we think it's a shame to suffer for Christ? Can I tell you something? Everybody in this room, young people, look at me. You ought to go to school tomorrow. Lift up your head and say, I'm a Christian. And start living like a Christian in front of them. Well, preacher, I don't go to a Christian school. First 8 years that I went to school, I went to a public school. I carried my Bible to a public school every day. Tried that one once. Everybody knew I was a Christian. Matter of fact, my English teacher hated me because of that. She was a Catholic. She told me regularly, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Catholic. I said, that's your problem, not mine. I'd have to do a story and give a book report or a report about it and read it in front of the class. Well, I'd write about the gospel. I'd present the gospel, give an invitation, have people saved in class. She didn't like that. So she picked the topics. One day she picked the topic, a bus ride. She didn't know we ran bus routes in my church, and I was a bus worker. So I wrote about our church bus. She put an F on my paper. I happened to know that the principal, Mr. Hartwick, was a Christian. I went to Mr. Hartwick's office. I said, Mr. Hartwick, I did the assignment. She doesn't like the topic, but she chose the topic. He said, Craig, go back to class. I'll get your teacher. He walked me back to class. He said, Mr. Bush, have a seat in your seat. He said, I found out later, he said, did you give him the topic? Yes, but I told him not to always write about church stuff. He said, did you choose the topic and say no, nothing about a church bus? No. He said, regrade the paper. I got an A on it. She didn't like me. At the end of the year, I found out I was going to the Christian school the next year. She pulled me out in the hallway. I'm not sure I ever told my parents this. She pulled me out in the hallway and she said, young man, you'll never go to college. You'll never do anything right. You'll never amount to anything. You're too stubborn and you're too bullheaded about this Christianity stuff. She said, you'll never make anything of your life. I said, that's what you think. Don't take this the wrong way, but I've got two college degrees, one of which is a doctor's degree. She was wrong. I have a minor in English grammar in college. Nah, 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 nah. Did I suffer? No. I counted it an honor. Used it to motivate me. We shouldn't seek man's pity when we suffer. We shouldn't act like we're the only one suffering. And by the way, let's not have a suffering contest and compare who's suffering more than somebody else. My boo-boo's bigger than your boo-boo. It's the way some of us act. Well, I hurt worse than you hurt. Well, folks, I'm in no competition to see who can hurt the worst. I love helping suffering people. Not a day of my life goes by virtually that I don't get news about somebody who's suffering. Not a day. Suffering may seem bad here on earth. May I say something? Suffering for eternity is far worse. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be like the Christians of the Bible and make something of my suffering. I don't want to die and go to hell. So as a 4.5, 5-year-old boy, I settled it. Know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, so I don't have to suffer for eternity. I also don't want to lose here on the earth. Though I may suffer, I'd like to use it to help somebody, not hurt somebody, not depress somebody. How about we decide we're going to take our suffering and do something great with it? Like the disciples, the apostles, who were beaten and thrown in jail, and they said, we count it all honor to suffer for his name. Most of us really don't suffer. We get our feelings hurt. Hurt feelings is not suffering, just so you know. Well, they offended me. Well, stand in line. Well, that really didn't feel good. I didn't like what they said about me. Oh. That's really suffering. Somebody burning in hell right now because you refuse to go out and tell them about Jesus Christ, that's suffering. How about we decide we'll stand up as a Christian and do that what we should do? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, that sermon was for me today. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. I believe we as Christians ought to get as close to this altar as we can and decide we're going to do something with our suffering. If God spoke to your heart today, don't care who you are, it doesn't matter if you're one of the musicians, whatever it is, if God spoke to your heart, how about you hit this altar right now as